she recently just relocated her life to the area I'm from, Tri-County area of Chesapeake Potomac region. Grateful to have her there with her experience, strength, and hope. Help me welcome Kelly.
Hi, family. I'm an addict. My name is Kelly. I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for the committee for the CPRC and A31. They've done a fantastic job at this convention, and this is my very first, like, extra-large convention. Like, I've been to conventions before, and I'm originally from Ohio, and I recently moved down here the latter part of last year. And I came down here kicking and screaming because I really didn't want to move from Ohio. It wasn't supposed to be like that. You know, I took this sales job and, you know, we're supposed to stay in Ohio and I can be closer to my family and my mom. And it just didn't happen like that. The guys that I work for, just really awesome men. And they believed in me and they needed me. And, you know, today's topic is about relationships, and that's really kind of broad. Like, it's not like, you know, toxic relationships, which I can go on and on about. I'm going to touch on that later. We're going to circle back to that. But you know, just relationships in general. And the first thing I think about, I'm like, well, how can you sum up, like, relationships? Well, you know, these guys that I work for, they're just, you know, they're not addicts. They're just really decent, you know, they're just decent human beings. And like, we are growing to be as well. And I'm really grateful for this process that I'm able to become, like, a responsible, productive member of society. And because if they didn't ask me to help them out, if they didn't ask me, if they didn't tell me that, you know, Kelly, we need you to come out here and help us with this business and to help oversee it. And, you know, and I'm not a really good salesperson, but I'm a really good organizer, and that's what they needed the most, someone to help them, you know, organize it and do the administrative function. So that's what I did. And if it wasn't for them, and they put up with me so much, because I didn't want to necessarily move here, and they still just kept, you know, believing in me and just kept encouraging me, and now it's gotten so good here for me, just being a part of this area and just being a part of Maryland in general, that now I don't want to leave. And as a matter of fact, I'm not. I mean, I my contract changed like 3 times in the past since I've been here. It was supposed to end in February, and then I changed my mind. Then it was going to end in March. Oh, no, it was first January, then March. And now I've extended it to like an entire year. So I'll be here all through, you know, indefinitely is what I told my boss, that I'll be here indefinitely. So as long as he needs me and as long as there's work for me to do, then I plan on staying. And I'm really grateful for that. I just want to thank everybody here, because you guys are a part of that, part of welcoming each other. That's what we do, welcoming each other to our program and giving us a reason to stay. And for that, you know, I have a reason to stay in Maryland. And I just thank everybody that is from here and those that came from far away as well. And just thank you for being here, for helping us carry the message. So that's the relationship. That's the one of the relationships that I struggle with, is relationships with employers. And, you know, because I know everything, right? And when you're the boss and you hire me, that means that you're hiring someone equal to you, right? Yeah, I had a false sense of reality and a big, big dysfunctional relationship with reality, which is, you know, entails a lot of the reason why I use drugs. You know, I use so that I can escape the reality of my life, and my relationships with drugs specifically was so that I didn't have to face it. You know, drugs were supposed to do some things for me so that I could carry on the existence and the life that I had without any type of consequence. That was the whole point. I could live my life the way that I wanted to. Drugs were my escape. I didn't want to be in reality. It says that, you know, we weren't happy about today. We weren't thrilled about the future. And, you know, we weren't too thrilled about the present. This is some of our literature. And the purpose of me using drugs was so that I didn't have to think about any of that stuff. You know, I didn't want to think about yesterday. I definitely didn't want to think about tomorrow. And I wasn't too thrilled about the present either. So my relationships with the first relationship that I really had to take a look at, and it came in the first step, was what was my relationships with the drugs? You know, we had a very dysfunctional relationship at best, but the most part, drugs did what they were supposed to do. it did what it was supposed to do. You know, I was very dependent upon other people, places, and things to try to make me whole, to take care of me because of my lack of inability to take care of my own personal responsibilities. When I look at some of the steps, like in the second step, that's when I really start to understand my relationship with reality and just how warped it was. And I just didn't have one. And looking at the first step as well, the first three steps, really, I look at my relationship with drugs, with my relationship with my family, you know, how that affected my life, relationship with myself, relationships, all, you know, what aspect of recovery doesn't deal with relationships? Well, that's what I've grown to understand throughout my process, is that recovery is about our relationships. Recovery is relationships. Because what do you do when you, the opposite of a relationship is total isolation. And that's what the drugs did. That's what the disease of addiction totally did. Try to rip us from the world, from life, and have us, you know, completely separated from anything and anyone that would ever try to help us or support us. And so in looking at that, I know for certain that it's about developing, taking an honest look at the relationships that I have, and then trying to do the best I can in order to develop a healthier relationship. It's kind of hard to sum up. I just kind of took a couple of notes. I was thinking about how could I sum up like the different relationships that I have, and boy, okay, you know, we can go through this real quick. Just a little bit about me. I got clean, and my clean date is July 23rd, 2006, and that was the second time. Relapse does not have to be a part of your story. If you're new here, you can come in here, stay here, and not ever have to relapse again. You know, our message is hope, and it's a promise of freedom that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. So the second time that I came in, I did buy into that, and so that we've been clean for a little over 10 years now, and I'm grateful for that. And you don't have to ever use again. There's a couple things that I did in order to make sure I didn't use no matter what was the first one. Our program is complete abstinence from all drugs. The second thing, and I went to meetings. I went to a lot of meetings. Went to many, many meetings, and I keep going to meetings. Meetings make sense. Meetings are a part of my life. It's part of my lifestyle now as well. I got a sponsor. Start working steps. Start doing service work. So when I think about those things, in general, I think about our coin, because our medallions. Our medallions have those four sides of our symbol, which is self-service, society, and God. I've heard people talk about what order is in. I don't know. But I know that for the self, we take a look at the 12 steps. For service, we look at the 12 traditions. For society, we look at the concepts. And for God, we look at the precepts. So, you know, my relationship with God was non-existent at that point when I first came in. The only thing that I could really understand is just who was I? What was I doing? So my first relationship was with the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous and taking a look at me. I'm the youngest of three kids in Ohio. My mother was a single parent. My father was in Vietnam. He was a veteran, and I was born in 1970, which was during the middle of his second tour. I think he was part of the cleanup crew, and I just remember hearing stories about how my father was when he came back and how different he was and how much he changed. I'm pretty certain that I was born an addict, because being conceived in 69, my father going back and forth to Nam, he did a whole lot of dope. He was definitely an addict, and he admitted he was an addict. My father's still living to this day. And so I'm sure that it's almost certain that I was born an addict. I was born premature. I was a whole month early. My mother struggled with me during her pregnancy. And it was just, I had a rough road in the beginning. I had an underdeveloped lung and a twisted foot. And, you know, I came out special. And I remember as a kid, they would always say, oh, you know, just be careful with Kelly. Be careful, she's just real sensitive. She's real sensitive. And that just began a whole lot of things that for me that I ended up using over time towards my advantage. I would cry at the drop of a hat if they told me something. I would run into the room. I was the crybaby and the baby at the same time. And that just started a whole lot of privilege for me that I capitalized on it as much as I could as a kid, and really not knowing that that I had all the functionings of an addict. I was addicted to the attention. I was very much addicted to creating a alternative reality in my life as a small child. I remember watching my brother and sister get, you know, spanked when they were little, and I knew then early on that was not going to happen to me. So I developed a keen sense of being a liar, and I constantly lied about everything, and I practiced it to the point where I was very convincing. I mean, I had the tears going and everything, like, no, Mom, I didn't do it. No, I didn't. I promise. And I, you know, I had the baby face, you know, with the baby cheeks going and the big brown eyes. And boy, I promise I didn't. And my mother, bless her heart, she did the best she could with us. And I got away with murder for a long time. And so the result of that is what we know is that always comes back and it bites you in the butt. Because then I became a full-blown liar, lied about everything from in school, and then it branched out into stealing. And this is, you know, I didn't do a drink or a drug at all during these developmental years, but these are the habits that I developed, and I became accustomed to those easily. So when I first took that first, you know, drink or drug or whatever it was, that's all she wrote. That's all I needed. And then my addiction took off from there. I was a kind of a late bloomer when it came to becoming a responsible, productive citizen. I didn't get clean until I was over 30 years old, and that was after I was able to complete, you know, a couple of high school, a couple years of college, and just ran around acting crazy, basically. And so my drug story is just about the same. I'm sure that you've heard it already. If you take a look at some of the things that you went through in your story, then I was there too. I was on the street. I was using, getting and using and finding ways and means and get one more. So we know about that. But it was only until after I came to NA that I realized how sick I was. And it was only afterwards that I realized that my relationships with people, places, and things something was wrong there. And you guys really played patient with me, the fellowship that helped me become a productive, responsible member of society was really patient with me in the beginning. And I think about a lot of the relationships that I had with the people in NA. I think about the relationships that I had with my family during that time. And when we think about relationships, the first thing that I want to try to run to is the romantic relationships. But the romantic relationships really came later. It was the relationships that I had with my family, with my friends, with the people that are closest around me that really set the pace for how I acted in romantic relationships. I already said I was a liar. So being a liar at such a young age and developing that with the disease of addiction, no man could stand a chance with me. I wasn't honest about it, not necessarily because I was lying to them about some of the things that I did. I was lying because I was not being honest about what I wanted. So I would accept anything just so you could have me, just so you could like me. And I wasn't being honest about what I wanted or my desires. I mean, for true, one is because I really didn't know who the heck I was. It didn't stop me from getting into romantic relationships. I'm sure a lot of you can understand that. But if getting into romantic relationships was really tough. It's tough when you don't know who you are. And it's tough when you don't know what you want either. You know, my relationship with my family was very strained in the beginning of recovery because I didn't put any work into it. I didn't put any work into developing relationship with my family. It just kind of happened over time. And thank God they didn't give up on me. Thank God that they continued to pray for me. But I look at some of the neglect that I had in my family life. And my sister and my brother and their children could really have used me during that time. But I was out running around doing my thing. I wanted to get clean and stay clean. And I mean, I'm going to be honest, you know, this is a program. My personal recovery is important, and I'm responsible for my own personal recovery, and that's true. But I took that to the next level, to where, you know, it was just to, no matter who it affected, I had to have my recovery. no matter what you were doing, you know, I had to go to my meetings, and that's not fair. That's not fair. There was no balance there at all. I didn't have any consideration for the things that my family needed to do, or if they needed me to stay around and help with the kids or anything. It was all about me once again. And I'm thinking, and now that I look back on it, I'm like, well, heck, that's no different than me going out there using. There's no difference. So, you know, we talk about relationships. It's talking about creating a balance. We're trying to create a balance in our lives. We're trying to create a balance between, you know, who we are, what we want, how we want it, and how to manage the people around us, or to manage the relationships around us. And it's a lifelong journey to do that. I'm grateful for the literature that gives us a guide to do that as well. As far as my employers are concerned, you know, I took advantage of them at any moment, even in recovery. And I'm talking about after coming to NA. You know, I would call in sick when I wasn't sick. You know, I'd take time off. I'd take a little, maybe if I needed some extra copy paper for my home printer, I might take a little bit from the job, you know, and not just stealing like physical items, but still in time. I mean, there are times when I really needed to get some work done and I didn't. You know, I sat at that computer and, you know, maybe posted a couple of extra time on Facebook and maybe made a few extra calls that I wasn't supposed to be on the calls at all during the job. So I have to take a look at what my relationship is with, you know, during my employers. You know, how am I utilizing that? Is that a healthy relationship? I know I might be jumping around, but one thing I didn't really know is what really a relationship was. You know, what was a relationship? I'm thinking that, you know, you do me and I do you, you know, then that's us. That's the we, you know, that's basically what it was. You give me something, I give you something, and then that's it. You know, I didn't really understand that, understand the dynamics of what a true relationship was. And it wasn't really until I got to the fifth step that it kind of opened up for me. And the fifth step that says that, you know, we admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Well, I'm like, well, that's a really interesting concept. And in our green book, the It Works How and Why hardback book, it talks about step five is the beginning of one of the relationships that we develop is with our sponsor, and it defines it as a give and take relationship based on equality and mutual respect. And for me, that's where I use that as a foundation for the relationships that I'm in now. It has to be give and take. It has to be based on equality and a mutual respect. And that just tells me that there's no more big I's or little U's. You know, we're equal in this. That means the exchange and the giving part is equal. Our spiritual connection has to meet at the same level. And so when I look at my romantic relationships, I think I did a inventory of the romantic relationships that I have, and I can just see how, you know, they're just so imbalanced. It's not that the guys were fine. They were fine. They just weren't for me. You know, I wasn't a bad chick. I wasn't all bad. But I just wasn't the type of person for them either. So I'm looking at, you know, what do I want? And who is more compatible with me? And it takes a lot of work to get there. I struggled in relationships for a very long time. I'm single. I'm 47 years old. I don't have any children. I've never been married. And it's not because I'm doomed for that for life. You know, I have no idea why. I don't have no idea why I haven't ended up pregnant all this time. But, you know, at 47, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm not trying to have no baby right now. So, but it just, you know, it's mind-boggling for me that, you know, all the years that I've been out there, and, I mean, it's not like I haven't had boyfriends or anything, that I just never got knocked up like that. And I would complain about that to my family, like, well, my sister's got kids, or my brother has kids, and my mom's like, just stay single. And, you know, she has her own motive for that. So, but you know, I look at the romantic relationships and where I was in those romantic relationships, and it just takes me right back to the fact that I really just need to have a relationship with myself. You know, it says to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, you know. And that's another big aspect of it. I recently did some work on personal relationships, romantic relationships with my sponsor. And, you know, my sponsor had me take a look at that. And one of the questions that I had to take a look at is, what is my relationship with my higher power? And my sponsor pointed out is that I still don't trust my higher power. I still don't have faith in a lot of ways. I've turned over my will in my life. I've turned over aspects of my will in my life, and I have had some successes in those. Oh, I've turned over my finances. That was fine. I remember reading in the basic text where one of our literature says that, you know, one of the things that we struggle with is turning over our financial stuff to our higher power. I didn't have a problem with that. Mine was romantic relationships. I thought that that was the one area in which I would have control over, that I could do what I had to do in my own, that I didn't need God for that. You know, wow, what a concept. So, and that only translated into why I struggled so many years with it. So it was only when I started to do the work to turn over my will and my life, including my romantic relationships, to my higher power, and really start to develop my relationship with my higher power through the 11th step, prayer and meditation. Because I had prayer down. Boy, you know, stand, kneel, pray. I had it all down. I had different ways of prayer. You know, I had taken it from different aspects and different sects of beliefs. And, you know, I could talk to my higher power and very formal, very informal. I had that down pat, but I realized that I didn't have the meditation part down very well at all. I wasn't listening. If prayer is talking to God, then meditation surely is listening. And I didn't have that part down. So recently I've been practicing and developing a better way of listening to my higher power. And a lot of that just has to do with sitting still and waiting and being patient and having faith and believing, taking quiet moments and journaling and writing down the things that we want and what we're hoping for, what it is that we need, and some of those things, and it works. It works. In the basic text, it also talks about relationships can be a terribly painful area. Boy, that's the hit. Everybody knows that one, right? Relationships, it can be a terribly painful area, right? They can also be quite beautiful as well. They can also be quite beautiful when we don't place unrealistic expectations on ourselves and others. And we can have some and reap the benefits and the rewards of having healthy relationships and recovery. I believe that the first start is to practice is to work the steps. The second thing that I believe is that working the traditions. Traditions teach us how to develop relationships with each other. So if you don't know or if you're struggling in your romantic relationships, my sponsor had me. I had a business partner, and we both were in recovery, and I had a hard time distinguishing our relationship in business with our relationship in recovery. So I got help from my sponsor. My sponsor said, you know, that you can't mix them. You can't mix them and expect your partner to have this. What you have to do is you have to practice them for yourself. You can't go around being the basic text and being the step working guide, you know, in your business relationship. What you need to do is practice it more than you talking about it. And so I had to sit down, and everywhere it talked about the group, I had to substitute that with my business partner's name. And it started with tradition two. So everywhere it said group, I had to replace that word group with my business partner's name, and my perspective changed. It changed a lot, because it's not about what they do. You know, it's not about what they doing, he's doing. It's really about my reaction to it, and it's about what I do. What is my reaction to it? Am I practicing the spiritual principles, you know, in this relationship? And that's what it's about. We have solutions today. The solutions to our problems are the spiritual principles that are contained in the steps. And if we're not utilizing those, then we're going to face a rough road. I was in a relationship with my junior high boyfriend. We were, I think he was 16, I was, he was 15 and a half, and I was 17. And we had stayed in a romantic relationship and a French, we stayed in a romantic relationship for a couple years. Then he went off to the service. I went off to college. Then we came back together, not for the, when I was on breaks and et cetera. And we just continued our relationship, just continued it. We became best friends, tell each other everything, you know, neck and neck, shoulder to shoulder. We were also lovers as well for a very long time. We remained lovers and friends, lovers and friends, lovers and friends. And I noticed that when I had a boyfriend, we couldn't be lovers then. If I broke up with my boyfriend and he had a girlfriend on the side or had a couple girls on the side, you know, then it was okay for us to be lovers again. And I would always say that, you know, well, he's a cheater. You know, I can't really, you know, hang around him like that. We can't really have a relationship because he's a cheater. You know, it took some work to understand that when I have a relationship with someone that's having a relationship already, then I'm a cheater too. And this went on for years. This went on actually for 28 years. I was in a 28-year relationship with my best friend / lover. And there was some ups, there were some downs. We used together at some point. And in 2012, he decided that he wanted to get clean and stay clean. It was May 2011. He decided he wanted to get clean and stay clean. And I was right there to support him. And he came into the program. We both were in the same. He was in our hometown. I was in a different city, but only really close. And we did the darn thing. We started doing the program together. We were, you know, going to conventions and, you know, doing all this kind of stuff together. And I fell in love with him again. And I'm thinking, okay, got him. You know, finally, several years back, he had asked for us to come together and really. Get married and do all that kind of stuff, and I wasn't ready. I wasn't sure about his lifestyle at that time, and of course he proposed to me while he was in prison, so that had a lot to do with it too. So I had to, you know, kind of get back with him on that, and I didn't know what he was going to do. You know, we came up knee high to a grasshopper, so I knew him like a book. I knew him like the back of my hand, and he knew me as well. And I wasn't sure if the cat was really going to, you know, do that. And I didn't want to have a lifestyle. I didn't want to change the lifestyle that I was already on, because I had already been here for a while. And so from 2011 up until 2015, I think, we were still engaged, and then it blew up. He wasn't moving fast enough for me. He still had this chick on the side. I'm still the third wheel, being talked about, you know, in NA as well. And guess what? I gave them everything to talk about. You know, it wasn't any of my fellowship's fault of what I was doing or them talking about me. It was because of what I was doing. They were watching me behave in a certain way. My whole demeanor changed. Everything changed. And I just got, it blew up and we fell out. And finally, 2 years ago, it's been 2 years. 2 years ago, it would have been 28 years. This would have been 30 years that we would have been together. So it was 2 years ago that I finally said enough. And I walked away from the relationship. No, I didn't. Actually, I blew it up. I blew it up. You know, I'm used to setting off bombs when I exit the building, you know, out of my hurt and pain and resentments and bitterness and anger. So I set off a bomb, and in that relationship, it took a turn. Tried to come together a year after that to be friends, and I realized we can't be friends. I can't be his damn friend. No way. You know, this guy, I knew everything about him. I knew him from the top to the bottom, side to side. I knew his whole family, his kids, you know, his niece and nephew called me aunt. And his mom and I had a good relationship. His brother was like my brother. I'm like, I can't be your friend. You know, either I'm all the way in or I'm all the way out. I couldn't ride the middle with him anymore. It was enough. And that was my first relationship with getting honest about what I wanted. And I just realized I just didn't want to settle anymore. I didn't want to be a third wheel. I didn't want to be the backup chick. I was tired of him being the backup man. And so I decided that it was best to end it. And I was going through changing sponsors at that time as well. And the sponsor that I had, I really thanked the sponsor that I had before then. But the sponsor that I had was going through the same thing. And I'm like, well, something's going to have to change. And I decided that I was going to be the change. So, and I, that's what the point, at that point, I decided to end that relationship, and it hurt. It hurt bad. It hurt bad. It's like a, part of me. It was like having a limb just ripped from me, because he had become so embedded in my life. And then the real work came, and I realized that I'd lost sight of him a long time ago. And what was left was just the idea of the relationship and the fantasy that I attached to it all those years. I mean, we stopped working a long time ago. I mean, we were no more compatible to each other than I am to the bricks on the floor. You know, what I understand is my attachment to these things, my relationship with fantasy. That was really what drove the insanity, and drove this obsession that I had with having a relationship with him. And when it stopped, I was able to pull back those layers and really pull back and see what was really, really underneath it. And it's the same thing. It's obsession and compulsion and total self-centeredness. You know, when I pulled it back and revealed it for what it was a disease of addiction. It was insanity. You know, it was a disease of addiction once again. And I have an amends to make. I have an amends to make to him for my part in that. Because when I stopped seeing him, when he stopped being who I wanted him to be and what my fantasy projected him to be, you know, what was my reaction? Retaliation. You know, I retaliated. You know, I started to assassinate his character, make him feel bad, make him feel like it was his fault, making him emotionally, you know, responsible for my emotional well-being, you know, making him responsible for what I should be responsible for. And it just created so much unnecessary heartache and pain for the both of us. And the best thing that happened is that we were at the stopping point. So I thought. So a year had passed. This is fast forwarding to August of last year. See, I know that my higher power is doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. It was the reason why I came to Maryland, because at that time I was still in Ohio. I was working in Toledo, and he was working in Bowling Green. And just like that, he called me, and I guess he got word that I was there. He says, "Well, I'm in Bowling Green." I said, "Well, I'm in Toledo." He said, "Okay. Leave me a key to the hotel room that you're staying in."
Can you speak up a little, please?
Yes, and just like that, I said, okay, fell right back into it. This is almost 18 months after we had separated. I fell right back into it, just that quickly. Some of us call that a relapse, right? And everything changed again. I was back doing the same thing again. I was back to that, to the sick thinking, the unsurety, the fantasy. I was back once again. And this time I was telling him, okay, we're going to do it this time. He got this girl. Okay, well, you got to break up with the girl. You know, got to take about 30 days, 60 days, 90 days to break up with her. And then this is going to happen. Here I am, fixed managing and controlling again. And every time I fix, manage, and control, every time we fix, manage, and control, we are not operating in reality. We are not operating in reality. We have a false sense of reality. So here I am once again doing it. I fell right back into it as if, and it may be afterwards I was able to talk to my sponsor, because I had to exit the relationship again. So I set off another bomb. Boom. And this time I called his girlfriend and I told her. And that's called except when to do so would injure them or others. And that's called hurting somebody who is an innocent victim, who is innocent in the relationship, because you are too immature to do the work that's necessary to get your own self better. And I have another amends to make because of that. So since August, and during that month, and that was in August, and during that month is when I moved out here. And I came out here, when I said I came out here kicking and screaming, it was because of that. You know, I came out here kicking and screaming because I was not done yet. I wasn't done. You know, revenge was at hand. I was going to try to blow it all up and blow myself up in the process, because that's what we do. You know, I can't wait to hurt you. I'm going to hurt me so I can hurt you, you know, that type of thing. And but I came out here and the work began. And the work began. And it hasn't been, I'm still healing from the relationship. And that was 28 years of my life with the same person. So it's not going to happen overnight. But we do recover. We do recover. And the biggest thing is that, you know, I got to give myself a break. When I give myself a break, I give everybody else around me a break. And boy, that's a gift as well. My relationship with my higher power is better than it's ever been before. My service to this program, my service to my family, I've stepped in and taken responsibility for my niece after my sister and her fell out. She's 18. She hates the world, hates everybody. The world hates her, you know, same thing. So, you know, my sister decided that she didn't want to deal with her, so she moved in with my mother in my mother's house that I still support. And now I'm a parent again. I'm taking care of her. I'm paying for her college tuition, because that's really what a parent does, right? Just empty out your bank accounts, right? I get it. You know, the nurturing part of it, I mean, I can do that too, but I've learned from you guys that, you know, you got to come off them coins, because that's what kids do. They just eat all your money up. So, but, you know, I understand. But she calls me if she's able to call me if she has a problem in college. She calls me if she has a problem with guys, and I'm able to give her the what I've learned now, developing more healthy relationships. I'm in a relationship right now. I'm the guy that I'm dating. We've been courting for a while now, and we're compatible. One thing I know for certain is that I used to chase guys constantly, just chase them. You know, I was the type of girl that went out there and got what I wanted, right? Yeah. I got, yeah, right. You know, until it was something that I didn't want, you know. But this time, you know, I got chased this time. I got chased. And I'm dating a really fantastic gentleman. He's a really stand-up guy. I really admire a lot of things about him. And we took our time getting to know each other. Our wants and our needs and our desires. We have long, extended conversations, whether it's on the phone or through text messages. Well, we text books to each other, just books. That's how I like it. I love long conversations. Talks about everything, politics and the world and whatever. He loves the United States of America, and I don't know why, but I mean, I do know why, but it's really good to have done some work and now to be in a more healthy relationship and know how to apply it. And the feeling that I had of like always feeling like something is missing, you know, if you're in a relationship right now and you feel like something is missing, 9 times out of 10, something is missing. Get out. Get out. Run. 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 Or do some work. You know, do some work or get out, because I lived in fantasy about a relationship. I was the man and the woman in the relationship. And that's not right. I do appreciate you guys listening to me. I just want to say that at the end of the road and at the end of the day, what Narcotics Anonymous does offer us is a comprehensive program of recovery. So even if our relationships are strained, even if we don't know where we're going or how we're going to do it, our promise is hope. We have a promise of hope and freedom that we do recover in all areas of our lives. And hope is found here. So, you know, don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle, because even going through debilitating and really hurtful, painful relationships, there is hope on the other side. We have to be committed to it. We have to be committed to do the work. And it's a constant. They say that recovery is a constant uphill battle. And it's true, continuous uphill journey. And so there's work to be done here. I hope that helps somebody. I know that I kind of jumped around, but I hope that helps somebody, and I really appreciate your time. I'm an addict. My name is Kelly.